Welcome back, party people. We are here for another episode of Legally Dirty Blonde, and we are continuing our journey through the Depp v. Heard defamation trial. And we've got a long way to go, people. We're only on day two, but we're getting into some really fun testimony today. I think this is a good episode, and I really hope you guys enjoy it. One of Johnny's friend of 40 years is testifying, and it's a good time. We've got some clips. It's going to be a fun episode, so let's get right into it. So they finish with Johnny's sister's cross-examination in the morning. The next witness Johnny called, arguably, is one of the best witnesses I've ever seen on trial in my entire life, or I should say, well, in my entire life, but also genuinely in my entire legal career. His name is Isaac Baruch, and he is fucking incredible. He has been Johnny's friend for, he said, since 1980, so for 42 years. He's from Brooklyn. He's got the attitude. He's you'll hear. I got some clips of him. He did a fantastic job for Johnny. We'll get into it. So let's give some background. You know, they met in Florida. They reunited a few years later when they had both moved to LA. You know, Johnny has done a lot for this man. He helped him launch his art career. He's an artist. You can go look at his paintings. They're a little, they're interesting. Definitely don't look at them if you're at work or somewhere where you wouldn't look at something that you wouldn't look at work. But yeah, check him out. So that's ISAACBARUCH. Definitely look him up. So like I said, they've known each other for 40 years. Johnny Depp has also let him live rent-free in one of his penthouses for many years. He's basically let Isaac live rent-free for many years, and he's lent him $100,000 to help launch his art career. You know, he's done a lot for him, and this is obviously a showing of Johnny's generosity, but is also going to be used to say that this guy's testimony is incredible and is only being said because of how much Johnny's done for him. And like, I kind of hate that because I'm like, oh, like, so being generous is now a bad thing. But again, my bias is showing. So let's move on. But okay, so let's talk about why this guy was so fucking great. Number one, he obviously testified positively for Johnny on many issues, but he didn't talk shit about Amber. He only had the nicest things to say about her. I mean, honestly, I can't say that I think any of Johnny Depp's other witnesses are going to be like that, especially personal friends of his. He said he loved her. He loved her, that she was so kind to him, you know, so on and so forth. Like he didn't have a negative word to say about her. And I think that that's super important. It doesn't make him look like, you know, oh, this fucking bitch, like, you know, she fucking hurt my friend. I fucking hate her. No, he didn't come across like that at all. He was so genuine. He was so genuine, so relatable, like a guy that you're having a drink, you see him in the bar in the corner, and he's like, "Yeah, let me tell you a little story about my time back in Brooklyn." And you're like, "I want to hear another story." Just super relatable. The jury, that he had the entire gallery, the entire courtroom cracking up at certain points. It was amazing. It was incredible. He even got Amber Heard to crack a smile. So if that tells you something, you know, I think this guy was a genuine witness and was a great witness for Johnny. You know, he definitely helped Johnny. He said he never, ever, ever saw any violence of any kind. He's never seen Johnny be violent, period. Certainly not with Amber Heard. He was important because he also testified to seeing her the day after the May 21st, 2016 incident where those cops came. And he said he saw her with no makeup on. She had nothing, no bruises, nothing, not a single thing, and not a stitch of makeup on. So he also said that during that, they had another encounter later that day or a few days later where basically she said that she told Johnny she didn't want anything from the divorce and that her lawyers were making her do this. And that's pretty fucking suspect if you ask me. First of all, like, why are you letting your lawyers make you do this? I don't understand what you're even saying. And he said to her, listen, I think it's best that we no longer speak. And after that moment, they never spoke again. But basically, he said after seeing her, he saw her after she allegedly had these horrible bruises the day after, and he saw nothing. And he personally, it was his opinion, she had no makeup on. He testified many times that, you know, he saw her all the time. They lived in the same building. The penthouse is her and Johnny and lived in one, and he lived in another. And he saw her, you know, without makeup on all the time. He complimented her when he said this. He said, you know, she's your all-American, like, Texas born and raised beautiful girl, natural, just hanging out, he kept saying. So, you know, I took that testimony as genuine, but you never know. You never know what the jury thinks. I can't imagine who wouldn't want to hang out with this guy, but hey. So basically, Amber Heard's lawyers did the worst job I've ever seen in my life on cross-examination, especially in a trial of this magnitude that's being televised. I don't know how you could fuck this up that badly. You know, not to be super mean. I'm sure they're hitting themselves for the same reason now, but on cross-examination, you're really not supposed to ask. It's not supposed to. It doesn't do you any good to ask open-ended questions generally. There are times when you do have to do that, but for the most part, you are asking questions that are going to elicit a yes or no answer. And if you're not getting a yes or no answer, you better stop that witness from saying anything else. They didn't do either of those things. Didn't ask yes or no questions. Did not ask. Only asked open-ended questions. And this really screwed them a lot. So, you know, the whole point of this is that on cross-examination, as an attorney, you have to control that witness. It is your job to control that narrative. You got to stop that witness in his tracks or her tracks if they are going off on a tangent or going off on a goddamn monologue about whatever the fuck. You know, you got to say, excuse me, sir, I this is a yes or no question. I didn't ask you that. You can stop that. You can do that. This woman, this attorney did not do that at all. So let me give you an example of how a question is generally phrased on cross and how it probably shouldn't be phrased in this situation. So the right way, isn't it true that you weren't sure if she had makeup on? Did she have makeup on? Because in his opinion, he's going to say, no, she didn't have makeup on. I saw her every day. She didn't have makeup on. Blah, 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 blah. Not yes or no. They did this so many times. He went off. I swear to God, it was like a second direct examination. I actually think that the cross-examination came off better than the direct examination. You know, they really didn't control his narrative. And I think it had a big impact. Her attorney was also harping on, you know, a lot of things that seemed to be silly, like whether or not he could really know if she was wearing makeup. And I think it came across as annoying and stupid to the jury. Like, do you know what foundation she, this is how she would say, do you know if she was wearing Amica cream? He's like, what the fuck is Amica cream? He literally says, I don't know what Amica cream is. Do you know what foundation she wears? Do you know what concealer she wears? Do you know what type of tint she had on? Do you know what powder she uses? Like, I mean, come on. Does this dude look like he works at MAC Cosmetics? Because I don't think so. And I also don't think that you need to be an expert on makeup application to be able to tell if somebody had makeup on or not. It's really not that hard. And also, she kept asking this question about Amica cream. It's Amica cream. And it's not makeup. It's something that it's like a homeopathic remedy for bruising and swelling that people use. It also does not instantly make a large dark bruise go away, nor does it completely eliminate swelling. You know, he didn't even know what the fuck it was. But she asked him those five questions about concealer, foundation, powder, all tint, whatever. Like, honestly, I was like, well, I don't even know what the fuck tint is, and I'm a girl over here. But anyway, like, she asked him that on several occasions, and it just came across as obnoxious, and he made it seem obnoxious. So let me see. I got a clip for you guys. This is what happened. So on cross-examination, she goes, so you're angry at Amber, right? And this is his response.
Oh, about all the phony pictures that were taken and put in tabloids, and about the fake narrative, and about and the way she's trying to a fraudulent DV claim to extort and blackmail a man. Yeah, that kind of got me frustrated, confused, angry, upset. Yes, which is why I said the best thing for us to do is not to talk to each other.
So, yeah, guys, yikes. Like, yikes times a million. That did not go the way that she planned. She did not prepare well for a witness like this. He is very charismatic. He knows how to take control of a conversation, and he did that, and she let him. You can kind of hear in the beginning, she's like, but she really did not stop him. I mean, clearly, we heard it. She didn't stop him. What a fucking statement for Johnny Depp. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Not only that, we're going to continue because this lawyer fucks up even more with in the next 10 seconds. She goes, well, you're still angry at her, right? Again, same fucking format, same lack of interjection by her after she asks the question. So like I said, she goes, but you're still angry at her. Here's his response to that.
What I am is tired. And I want this all to end. Her to go heal, him to go heal. So many people have been affected by this malicious lie that she started and she created, and it's gone out the door and around the world. And so I can't even paint anymore. I've stopped painting for the last who knows how many years, and that's affected by stuff. I'm not angry at anybody. I want the best for her to take her responsibility, heal, and move on. And for Johnny, it's, his family has been completely wrecked by all of this stuff. And it's not fair. It's not right. What she did and what happened for so many people to get affected from this. It's insane.
So you heard that, guys. I mean, that was emotional. That got to you. I'm sure that got to the jury. And I cannot believe that this happened on cross-examination. It is a rare thing to see that happen. That is something that is normally elicited on direct examination by the attorney that is, calling that witness. I cannot believe that she let him go on like that. And she got annoyed later on when something came up that he had brought up. And she's like, well, I didn't want him to say that. And the judge was like, well, you asked him the question. And yeah, so that wasn't a great moment, or a great witness for the defense. And, I think he did Johnny, I think he really helped him basically. But okay. So, honestly, there's really not much more to say about him. He was a stellar witness. He did awesome. I hope you enjoyed listening to his clips. There were a lot of other funny fucking clips. He is fucking funny, guys. I suggest going to listen to it. He was cracking himself up. He was laughing at the attorneys. It was funny. A little humor in law is good sometimes. But okay, so let's move on. So he finished up the rest of day two. Was, you want to talk about boring? This was boring. It was basically a surveillance footage. It was a pre-done deposition of the building manager where Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, as well as Isaac and I think one of Amber's friends, also lived. And it was basically going through clips of surveillance footage where they have to authenticate it. So they have to ask, like, there's a couple of things they have to ask. They have to ask the same fucking shit for every clip. And there were like a million clips. And half the time they weren't even showing them to us. It's just to get them into evidence. So they're basically asking the guy, is this like a clear and accurate representation of the vestibule of this building? And he's like, yup. And then they're like, is this how it looked in 2016 when these videos were preserved? Yup. Like, literally the same five questions for like 70 different clips. Boring, very boring. We did see a couple of them. It's like Amber Heard coming into the elevator, out of the elevator, Johnny in and out. And the times are important. It's before and after these alleged violent incidents occurred. So, you know, there was no discussion really about what was seen on these clips. It was pretty much just authentication. So, you know, if that tells you anything also like of how important authenticating evidence is, like even surveillance footage that I'm sure that they both sides could probably agree on, the fact that they can't authenticate her photos is a huge fucking deal. So, yeah, for the last, like, I don't even know how many hours of testimony on day two, it was just this, and I'm sure half the jury was fucking asleep for it because I certainly was bored as fuck. So that brings us to the end of our episode today, guys. Come for the next episode. We're going to talk about day three of the testimony, and that happened today, Thursday, and that had testimony from their marriage counselor, from a former assistant of Amber Heard's who is not exactly pleased about her behavior, and also from Johnny Depp's doctor. So yeah, that should be a good episode. In the meantime, while you're waiting, check out the podcast on Twitter at LDBlonde with an E pod, and on Instagram at LegallyDirtyBlondePod. And remember, until next time, legally dirty blondes have more fun.